Auto 9.
It's a Sonic1029.com presentation. The Lane Mitchell Show Podcast.
It's Lane Mitchell Show Podcast number 52. Thanks so much for downloading. This week, there's a small international sporting event going on in Vancouver. Maybe you've heard of it. It's called the Olympics. We chat a little bit about that. Plus, Tiger Woods spoke publicly for the first time in months. How long do you think his televised apology went on for? Those stories and more coming up. It's Lane Mitchell Show Podcast number 52. Enjoy.
Lane Mitchell Podcast from Sonic1029.com.
Do you know who Kevin Smith is? Yeah, you know, movie director. He did like Clerks and Mallrats. He's Silent Bob. You know, more recently did Zach and Miri Make a Porno. Anyway, Kevin Smith tried to board a plane, Southwest Airlines plane, over the weekend, and he got kicked off for being too fat. Now, if you've ever seen Kevin Smith, he's a substantial dude. Like, he's got to be 400 pounds, and he's like, I don't know, 5.5 feet tall. Pretty big dude. But too fat to fly? I don't, like, he was able to buckle himself in and stuff. Apparently, he had bought two seats, but he canceled, tried to get into a different flight or something, but there was only one seat available. Now, on one hand, if you pay for a full seat on an airplane, are you not entitled to be comfortable? You know, enjoy your seat without somebody else's gut hanging over on your lap? See, on the other hand, I'm a little on the tall side. I got long arms. I certainly take up more than my share of the seat. Not intentionally, but I tuck my elbows in against my sides, I still take up the armrests. Equally unfair to my fellow passengers, right? I wouldn't take real kindly to being kicked off the plane because they don't feel I conform to their size standards. So I asked Kevin Smith about that earlier today, and I think I got a clip here. Hang on. Oh, sorry, I caught him while he was eating here. Hang on, let me just fast forward. Oh, hang on, still eating. Okay, still eating. Now, that was pretty much how the whole interview went. You know, it's weird, though. I don't know. I'm not coming down on fat people. I used to be, like, a pretty chunky guy. I wasn't too fat to fly, though. You know, my size didn't pose a safety risk for other passengers. And you know what? I don't think his did either. Question is, people are getting bigger and bigger. Plane seats are getting smaller and smaller. At what point do we just say, come on, we need to do something about this? You know, should they retrofit the planes with a certain number of, fat people seats? We would accommodate people, with any kind of, special physical disabilities. Maybe this is the same thing. I don't know.
Lane Mitchell Podcast from Sonic1029.com.
Well, I used to be a fat person. Or obese, I guess. Sorry.
You and me can join Fat People's Anonymous.
I think so.
We're like recovering fat people.
It's in remission or something like that. I don't think that there should be anything special. I think that if someone's that big, they're spilling over the seat, that they should be buying two tickets.
Well, he initially bought two tickets.
Yeah, but he switched flights or something like that. Do you think you'd be able to throw some of that celebrity around and say, hey, come on, guys, let's get my ass on a plane?
Well, no kidding. And you know what the funny thing is? You get on a plane, what's the first thing that happens? Can I get you a Coke and some cookies? You know what I mean? The guy's on a freaking press tour. It's like the airlines are probably what made him fat. You know what I mean? The fact that the guy flies twice a day.
Yeah, no kidding.
You know, even if they have to say, okay, we're putting a certain number of fat seats in.
And call them that, too.
Well, and you know what? Maybe that's part of it, right? It's like maybe they're shaming taking the fat seat.
Yeah, there should be.
Well, if you're a football linesman, no shame there. If you're a sumo wrestler, an athlete that requires that kind of girth, great.
Opera singer?
See, opera singers, I don't know. I don't know why they're all fat. Like, are they lubricating their throats with gravy? Like, what? Why are opera singers always fat? Do you need to be fat? Like, I'm not sure. Like, I'm legitimately asking. I'm not ridiculing.
Well, you know what? I got to look into that.
Yeah, you add Luciano Pavarotti as a friend on Facebook. Is that guy still around?
I think so.
That guy is what I picture a heart attack looking like.
The Lane Mitchell Show. It's Lane Mitchell podcast from Sonic1029.com.
We're just talking about opera singers and why they're all fat. Apparently, it's a good reason. Two different theories, but they don't really know exactly for sure. But apparently, if you have a whole bunch of fatty tissue around your larynx, your voice box, it increases its resonance capacity. Basically, it makes your voice louder. The other theory is that if you have like a really huge chest cavity and like big lungs and stuff, good chance you're, again, going to be louder. See, I don't buy that one. Otherwise, like Lance Armstrong, wouldn't he be singing opera? Yeah, I think you just need a bunch of fat around your neck. And generally, you're not going to get a really big fat neck if you're like 85 pounds. Thus, opera singers are all fat. Weird.
It's a Sonic1029.com podcast.
Now, you probably heard by now, Nikolai Kabibulin, busted for DUI. That's what it says on the cover of The Sun, anyway. Aren't we being just a little rough on this guy? I mean, let's face it, the truth is, he probably just couldn't afford a cab ride home, right? You know, so instead of asking someone else for a ride, instead of taking a bus, that poor brave soul hopped in that cheap import car of his. What was it, a Ferrari, I guess? Yeah, and drove home, allegedly under the influence. He was reportedly speeding, too, which is always a good idea when you're drinking, because that way you reach your destination faster and thus spend less time drinking and driving, right? That's just logical. When you think about it that way, like, I mean, the guy's practically a hero, right? Like the mugshot on the cover of the paper, too. That doesn't really help his case, does it? At least I think it's a mugshot. Kabibulin, he's got the 60-40 going on. One eye open 60%. Other one open 40%. Which doesn't necessarily mean you're drunk. I mean, my eyes do that in like pretty much all of my pictures. But you know, it's like two cameras set to different shutter speeds. Again, doesn't mean you're drunk, but doesn't exactly portray the image of sobriety either, does it? And don't get me wrong, I'm not hating on the Oilers. I love our team. Just, you know, between the way they're playing this year and the off-ice conduct, they're not making it real easy to be a fan this year, are they?
It's Lane Mitchell, podcast from Sonic1029.com.
My name's Lane Mitchell. Now, a lot of us, you know, we're watching the Olympics, and a lot of times we're watching sports even that we don't pay attention to the rest of the year. Figure skating, for instance. One of the questions that's come up is, should same-sex pairs be allowed in couples figure skating? There's an article about it in Psychology Today, in which a professor theorizes that, you know, keeping pair sports heteronormative, meaning one man, one woman, encourages the idea that either you are in a boy-girl couple or you're alone. Interesting thought. You know, I mean, this issue was actually tackled in that Will Ferrell movie, Blades of Glory, albeit with less seriousness than this article, but it is very true, right? Now, my question, what about the two-man luge? Now, why not one man and one woman? That'd be kind of interesting to watch. Kind of erotic to watch, perhaps. I suppose with those tight suits, the awkward positions, might be a little uncomfortable for teenage boys to watch, but hey, aside from that, why not?
The Lane Mitchell Show, podcast from Sonic1029.com.
I was at the gym today. I was just walking into the change room, and they have, like, the lost and found bin, like, right beside the door. Walked by, and I noticed something kind of interesting. By interesting, I mean something you wouldn't typically find in a lost and found at a gym. Not like I root through there all the time or anything, but something you wouldn't find in a gym in general. I found a bottle of Irish cream. Yeah, a bottle of Bailey's in the lost and found at the gym. See, my first thought was, why hasn't anybody taken this, right? But then it occurred to me that the reason it's still there is because nobody wanted the embarrassment probably of walking out of, you know, the gym locker room carrying a bottle of booze. Well, not just booze, but like girly booze. I mean, nothing wrong with Irish cream, you know, like I drink it from time to time. But I'm just saying, you know, I have trouble visualizing, you know, the power lifters in the back corner, you know, deadlifting 500 pounds while sipping on, you know, mudslides. Pinky up in the air. You know, if you're bringing Irish cream to keep you hydrated during your workout, there's a good chance that you're probably not going to get the kind of results you were looking for out of that workout. I mean, Bailey's is really just kind of like melted ice cream, cut half and half with whiskey. Sort of like drinking icing. Probably not all that healthy for you.
It's a Sonic1029.com presentation. It's Lane Mitchell Podcast.
My name's Lane Mitchell. I don't know if you're watching Letterman the other night, but he took a shot at Olympics officials and the way they handled the death of that Georgian luge competitor. He said, quote, "For them to say it was just a mistake, that just stinks. Because if the kid made a mistake and that was the end of it, they wouldn't have repaired the track and covered up the girders and started from the woman's starting point." You know what that is? It's hypocrisy. Letterman makes a really good point, doesn't he? You know, making it look like, you know, it was this kid's fault, this 21-year-old kid. You know, oh, he just didn't know what he was doing. But really, if that were the case, would we have gone to all of this effort? I don't think so. I thought it was kind of strange, too. I was watching the opening ceremonies, and Lloyd Robertson asked Prime Minister Stephen Harper, said, "Oh, how do you feel about this?" And what an uncomfortable question. How do you think he feels? Do you think anybody's hearing about a tragedy like this going, "Oh, well, it certainly improves our chances"? Of course not. You know, I realize it's a respect thing to the country, but come on, how do you think we feel?
It's a Sonic1029.com presentation. The Lane Mitchell Show Podcast.
Tiger Woods, you may have heard, broke his silence on Friday, admitting to the public that he did, in fact, cheat on his wife. Apologizing for his irresponsible behavior, pledging to make things right. He went on and on and on, which would have been fine, except like most speeches, he was reading. Which at least in my eyes kind of, I don't know, it kills the sincerity, you know? Like the guy's got speech writers and stuff. We all know he didn't write that speech. You know, like sure he covered the key points, but you know, I think it would have been better to just hear him speak from the heart. Kind of weird, too. His mother-in-law and mother were both there. How awkward would that be? Apologizing for something like that? You know, people were placing bets on all kinds of stuff. You know, whether or not there would be Tiger tears. Will Tiger Woods cry during his apology? How long would the apology be? It's actually surprised at the length. Actually, before the apology aired, I figured I'd go around and ask people how long they thought Tiger Woods would apologize for. You know, Tiger Woods apologized on TV. How long do you think it was?
I'm going to approximate just under 15 minutes.
5 minutes.
No idea.
How long do you think Tiger Woods' apology was?
2 minutes.
5 minutes.
15.
Can I ask you a quick question?
Sure.
How long do you think the Tiger Woods apology was?
12 minutes.
2 seconds?
5 minutes.
Tiger Woods, how long do you think it was?
I don't know, nine and a half inches.
No.
He's half black, right?
Sorry, messed up the question there. Anyway, it was 14 minutes. 14 minutes. 18 extramarital affairs, and Tiger Woods apologized for 14 minutes. It's like 45 seconds per affair. Not really a whole lot when you think about it, especially considering it's 3.5 months late. I mean, if you cheated on your partner and then apologized to him or her for just 45 seconds, like this coming June, you think they'd forgive you? Because I know I certainly wouldn't. I don't know, maybe that makes me petty and small, but I don't see that trust being earned back so easily.
The Lane Mitchell Show Podcast. Like what you're hearing? Check out the Garner Andrews Show to Go podcast at Sonic1029.com.